Hey, welcome back, students and listeners who've heard this show before. I'm glad you're still with me. Newbies, I'm particularly glad you've tuned in. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 004 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to spread the excellence and raise the quality of guitarists' work one musician at a time. I'm glad you could join me. So, how's your playing going? Making some progress? How was last week? Did you attain a goal or conquer a technique or make strides in the right direction? Or are you all in a slump and don't know why? Well, let me put this forward. If you're in a slump, it could be the degree to which you're able to focus while you're practicing. I have a couple of students who really wrestle with this. It's not a slam, but most of them, actually all of my students who wrestle with this are males. I think guys are just more distractible, probably because they're so visual. It's just totally unscientific. It's just my impression. Anyway, if you're finding you're in a slump and you're putting in the appropriate amount of time and you're working, perhaps it's that your mind is elsewhere and your brain has to get trained along with your fingers and along with your ear. So let me suggest you be very aware of your degree of focus and see if that doesn't contribute to affecting the changes you're looking for in a good way in your playing. Let's see, my week, this last week was kind of crazy for me. As I mentioned in the previous podcast, I was going to have to be going into the city very frequently for the next, well, till the end of the month. And when I say city, for you who don't live in the New York metro area, when I say the city, I mean New York City. I'm a stone's throw from Manhattan, and people in this area just call it the city. We don't call it Manhattan or New York City, we just call it the city. Well, besides that the week entailed a great deal of running around in the city, it was killer hot. Most days the heat index was over 100 with extreme humidity. And that's always made worse when you're surrounded by asphalt and brick and concrete and steel. I did manage to escape one day and get to my local town pool for a few swims. That felt so good. But it was so hot that even when you got out of the water soaking wet, the breeze, instead of making you shiver a little, made you swelter. So it was just I like to call this weather beastly. This coming week, we're supposed to have normal-ish weather for this time of year, which is hot and humid, high 80s, low mid-90s, and that's where we usually are. So, you know, that's not really even a heat wave for us. Well, my big news for the week is that I'm recording on a new Mac. Woohoo! Now, it's not brand new, it's just new to me, but I'll take it. Thank you so much. The dad of one of my students gave me a 20-inch iMac that's a few years old. The timing could not be better. The iMac I have been using up until now, including what I've recorded the first three podcasts on, is really at death's door. I've been saving everything important to an external hard drive, but you never know if the one day or one week you don't save it is going to be the time when you go to turn it on and you get the chimes of doom. I have been getting the death shade, or that's what I call it, lately when I turn it on, and that's, you Mac owners, I hope you haven't seen it, but in case you haven't, what I'm talking about is a gray screen that comes down over your desktop. In a bajillion languages, it tells you you need to restart your computer, and it looks really serious, and it's never good news when a bajillion languages are screaming that at you all at once, gray, on the desktop of your Mac. So, I'm on a different computer. I hope to try to deal with the sound quality this week. If it's off or not where it was at least last week, which I thought was not great, but decent, I'm working on it. I've only had this Mac for 2 days, and my priority really was to get all my critical data on here and install the programs that I have to use either daily or very frequently. And I've done that. So, here we go. We're getting ready to get out of my intro and into the student spotlight for episode 004. This week, we find in the warm glow of the student spotlight, there are five students: Arno, Brad, Carol, Danielle, and Elliot. Yay! The dudes are back. Good work, everybody. I'm going to bid Elliot a brief goodbye for this month. He's going to camp, and I'm welcoming back Arthur, who will resume lessons this week. He was away for a month, so we've got an exchange of male students, and I'll be really glad to see Arthur. He's a great, zealous student. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome a brand new student, Brittany. She had her first superb lesson this past week, and let's say that the little edge of the spotlight is shining on her, too. She did just remarkably well. Brittany's dad plays a little. He learned as a young man and picks it up and fiddles with it, and he had the good sense to when she was expressing interest, to get her an instructor and not just only pass along his limited information. So that was a really good call. I encourage you players who are listening, who have kids, unless you are a teacher by nature and by gift and by training, you should let a professional teach your child music, unless you're really, really experienced at it. It seems to be more effective than parental, general, nebulous instruction. Anyway, students in general, listeners, dig in. Set your expectations high, not unrealistically, but high. Then have the discipline to do what's necessary to progress to your goal. If you're one of my students, that may find you in the spotlight next week. Kudos to you guys. You did great. Keep up the good work. And I'm expecting great things from Arthur as he's returning this week. Okay, let's move on to the question of the week. I just cut my nails and I think they're short. Why are you telling me they aren't short enough? This whine emanated from one of my students this week, and it's not that unusual to hear it from time to time. I'm not going to reveal their name because I've heard it from a lot of students. Their left-hand nails, after clipping or filing or whatever the method of choice was to shorten their nails, the fingernail was even with the end of the fingertip. And I grant you, if you are a manicurist or a layperson and not a stringed instrument player or a pianist, they look quote-unquote short. But think about how your finger should be striking the fretboard. Whenever possible, even if that means after intense practice of proper technique or practicing exercises that allow you to master correct form in the attack, your left-hand fingertips should strike the string and the fretboard vertically. If you're creating clean sound and playing legato, you need controlled hard pressure, vertical hard pressure, to accomplish it. Now, I know this is a subject that not everybody wants to hear about, but it's really important because sometimes it's the difference between your playing being clean or buzzy when you're not that far away from the fret. So a nail that is as long as the fingertip does not allow the compression of the fleshy or callousy tip of the finger to press the string tightly against the fretboard. Now, realize, you're pressing a string. The string is going to actually slightly indent your flesh or your callus, whatever you've got at the tip of your finger. And the bone of your fingertip continues that pressure so that the depressed string sound stops at the fret just above which you are stopping the vibration. I hope I made that clear. I was picturing it in my mind while I spoke. In other words, you're depressing a string just north of the fret, just north of the appropriate fret you're playing. And that pressure needs to be such that it presses the string that very, very small distance from the top of the fret down to the fingerboard sufficiently that the string bends and the vibration stops there. If it doesn't bend enough, you get a buzz. And that's a lot of novice players and weak-fingered players get buzzy sounds. This is the same principle that if you look at the head nut of your guitar, and that's the ivroid sort of white small slug of material that is above the fingerboard where the headstock begins, and you notice that the angle at which your string passes from that head nut to the string peg or tightening tuner, string tuning peg, is angled. And we have to approximate an angle which we can't bend it that much. That angle has to be created when our fingertip hits the string just above the fret at which we need to stop the vibration. Okay, so that's the mechanics of what happens. So if you have fingernail that's as long as your fingertip, it behaves like an unwanted shim or barrier. It makes everything harder to play correctly, and it makes a guitarist who has that much nail angle their attack to avoid the nail, which often causes some interference with an adjacent string or makes a widely spanned or widely stretched chord much more challenging to execute. In my case, within a few months of when I had my first guitar, I began a nightly ritual that I am still practicing. And that was to file the very tip of my nail of my left hand fingers just every night. Now, if you consume a healthy amount of protein, now that really means a healthy amount, I don't mean overeating, a healthy amount of protein, and you're in good overall health, you will actually see how much your nails grow in a day if you do it. And they do grow just a little bit. When I retire in the evening, I file my nails, which after decades of this practice has caused the quicks of my fingernails to actually reestablish a little lower than most people, and for my purposes that's actually very good. And when I say file, I mean just the little trace of white. I'm not, you know, sawing my finger off. By the following evening, you know, 24 hours later, that little trace of white is just showing again. So you can see that your nail is growing, or I can see that my nail is growing. Let's take it out of your realm. I'm not recommending anyone else do this. This is my ritual. You're welcome to do it, but don't bother me if you have a problem. If you're compulsive, realize, and I'm cautioning you here, that you can break the skin that seals between your nail and your fingertip, which can not only be painful, but it can be a tremendous gateway to infection. So just look at your nails, press them at a fret on your E string, your sixth string E string, around the eighth or ninth fret. Attack vertically. If the nail is touching the fretboard as well as the fingertip and your attack is vertical, your nails are too long. That's the be-all, end-all of it. What do I use to file my nails? And you notice I file them, I don't cut them, because they're never long enough to cut. They're only long enough to just file that little day's growth out of. And I mean really one or two swipes of a file. The only kind of implement I use to file my nails is either a tempered glass or crystal nail file. They do a superb job. They seal the nail instead of making it jagged the way some sandpapery type emery boards and things like that can. It's always a smooth finish. Your nails never catch on a sweater or a garment or anything else. And they're very clean. They never wear out, which is good. You can clean them off, rub them with a little alcohol if they seem to be accumulating stuff, and then rinse them underwater. And that's what I do. Until I do a segment on hand care and nail care in this podcast, you can check out the hand care link on my website, guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally. I'll go through it one more time. guitartechniquetutor.com. Okay, so much for the shortness of left-hand fingernails. Let's move along to this week's news, shall we? If you heard last week's show, episode 003, no, Bob Taylor has not yet sent me a guitar to review, but I'm still open to it. This week's news is from the Fender Company. We got a bit of fun news and a bit of community news, so that's a nice balance in my opinion. The big news from Fender, the good fun news, is that you can win a Classic Player Jazzmaster Special. They're having a contest. All they want you to do is give them your name and email address, maybe a regular address too. I think they're doing this to try to target their marketing. And let me give you the little spiel about the Jazzmaster. If you don't know what a Fender Jazzmaster guitar is, you should take a look. Of course, I'll put links up on this on the show notes. But this guitar has had a great following. In the entire world, is there an electric guitar that says summer more than a sleek Fender Jazzmaster? Of course the answer is no. Is there a guitar more evocative of sun and sand and surf? Of cars and girls in Southern California? The Jazzmaster has been synonymous with all of these delicious notions since 1958, and it's as sleek and curvaceous and as popular as ever today. And so to celebrate the summer, Fender's giving away a Classic Player Jazzmaster Special guitar, a modern take on their original 1958 Jazzmaster model, complete with hotter pickups and a new adjust-o-matic bridge, a 9.5 fingerboard radius, and a neck pocket with the increased back angle for improved stability and sustain. And that's curious. We were just talking about that angle of the strings when we were referring to the short nails. Okay, the contest ends August 31st, and I will definitely post the link on the show notes for this week's episode. Now, the community news from Fender is great. The online cause community, Causemunity, Causemunity, is donating a percent of the purchases made through its website to the Fender Music Foundation. The company funnels these donations from their network of nearly 200 participating online merchants who have agreed to donate a portion of each bill to the charity of the customer's choice. Causemunity links a wide variety of places to shop, including favorites of musicians, well, like iTunes, as well as Target.com, Buy.com, Hot Topic, Urban Outfitters, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and Amazon.com, as well as lots and lots of others. By making purchases through www.fendermusic.causemunity.org, the Fender Music Foundation gets 1 to 15% of the purchase. The donation is made with no extra cost to the buyer. So this is like if you have websites you visit that have affinity links to Amazon or other places. Another convenient feature to Causality is its search tool. Users can easily search through almost all of their merchants for the lowest price or the most popular item. So that's something that'll save you time if you consider that you've got to do this one extra step. Rather than just clicking on the bookmark in your computer or your favorite, that if you're going to go through this fendermusic.causemunity.org. According to Causemunity's founder, Wayne Liu, this is a quote for him, "At Causemunity, we are committed to providing long-lasting benefits to nonprofit organizations through micro-donations. Causemunity helps to build long-lasting affinities between the nonprofit organizations and their members. With Causemunity, a donation is no longer a once-a-year event, but it becomes the daily part of our lives as users." Moriah Harris-Roger, the executive director of the Fender Music Foundation, has been starting all of her online shopping at www.fendermusic.causemunity.org since the organization first set up the relationship at the end of March. According to her, she says, "It's easy to use. I don't have to sign in or use any special passwords or codes. I simply go to the site, click on the link to the store at which I wish to shop, and a percent of the purchase price is automatically transferred from that particular online store to our account on Causemunity. I hope all advocates of music education use this tool to actively give back so that we can give more people the opportunity to participate in making music. And, you know, all the cities and locales and schools are having major budget issues, so anything you can do in a painless way that is going to contribute to the music education of someone who otherwise wouldn't have it, I say it's a go. So I will link the Fender Cosmunity link on, I will post it on the show notes for this week. So I think good job to Fender. I think their news this week is just great. So thank you, friends at Fender. And now let's move on to my take note section. I'm going to follow up on the nails issue presented by the question of the week by letting you know that if you are in a hot summer climate at this time of the year and you find your calluses and cuticles are in a funky state, rest assured you are not alone. If you need to put your hands in water a lot during the day or if you swim in hot, humid weather, your work-worn calluses may be shredding or peeling or just mushy. Ugh. You know what I mean. If you're suffering from this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't peel those calluses off. Some of my students are fascinated with the idea of peeling their calluses off. Okay. You'd be mushy too if you were waterlogged. The best temporary fix that I know of for this problem is to use a blow dryer set on cool. I'm going to say it again. A blow dryer set on cool. If you have a controllable variable temperature blow dryer, you can test warm, but cool or no heat is the air setting I'm really suggesting. Notice I am not saying to use the hot setting. If you blow dry the fingertips as soon after the wet activity as possible, you're going to find that you're going to slightly dehydrate that mushiness. If after drying them out, they're still a little jagged, run them over a time or two with a very fine emery board or tempered glass or crystal file. And I mean just a couple of times. I don't want you burning your fingertips with the friction. It's just to even out the skin that used to be all solid, rough, tough skin and that has gotten so waterlogged that it's starting to plump up and get jaggy. So you just want to trim, you want to blow them dry, dehydrate them with a cool setting at the warmest, warm, and I don't mean hot that you can take because you're strong and you want to suffer for your music. I'm talking about cool, no heat, or really, really mildly warm. And you want to just file them one or two times if they're jaggy after drying, with a smoothish emery board or a tempered glass or crystal file just a couple times. You should not create any kind of heat with friction by this one or two time filing. This is where I can just hear my attorney brother telling me that I need to do a broadcast disclaimer. So here it is. Do not use a blow dryer to dehydrate your waterlogged calluses and cuticles until you consult your dermatologist. The Guitar Technique Tutor.com podcast and all its affiliates in the entire universe assume no responsibility for any action taken by anyone with regard to dehydrating their waterlogged calluses and cuticles or any other physical injury a person could possibly suffer from following the procedure described herein. I hope that covers it, Phil. That wraps it up for episode 004's usual segments, and let's move over to the outro. Well, now we're going to wrap up episode 004. I don't know if you can hear it. I hope you can, but these podcasts are starting to feel more and more natural. I hope it that is sounding that way to you, my valued students and listeners. I want to thank you again for joining me. This is a weekly podcast. I'll do my best to record them on Mondays and get them up on the web by, let's say, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe the same day if I can. I am aware that the RSS feed and subscription link is not yet on the website. I've been really running around a little crazily the last week or so. I am working on it. I haven't forgotten. It's not just excuses. I just haven't been here in order to do it. So I will accommodate you with that convenience as soon as I possibly can. I'm hoping maybe this week. Anyway, don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, and that you can always reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please notice there is no tutor in the email address. It's just GuitarTechniqueT. No tutor. Don't hesitate to email me with your questions for Question of the Week. And if I use your question, I will send you a GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast pick. Please keep me in mind if you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County areas. The towns in which I teach are Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mahwa, Midland Park, Montvale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliffe Lake, and Wyckoff. So if you're in any of those towns, please contact me. If you're contacting me about the possibility of guitar lessons, calling is the best option. My phone number is on the website. It's on the top of just about every page, possibly not the show notes page, and that's by design. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate for guitar lessons, as new student Brittany was, perhaps we can work together. This is a great time to get into my schedule. Ordinarily, I don't have many or any lesson times available after Labor Day or that first week of September. So if you're contemplating learning, I encourage you to learn correctly the first time with a competent instructor. And I welcome your call. And and if we're not well suited to work together, I will direct you to a link on my website that will give you all the information you need about how to vet and find a really competent guitar instructor who is worth your time and your money. And that would be on the Find a Teacher link on my website. Have a great week. Maintain your nails so they aren't an impediment to your improvement, speed, and power. Stay focused. Take care of those mushy calluses. I'm not going to say another word about that. And until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence. Bye.